Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome this morning. It is already just about the middle of July. Cannot believe this year is going by so fast. But you know what? That is the season, the time that we're in, and that kind of just lets us know that time is short. And we've got to keep moving with the cloud, keep moving with God. Anyway, I'm not going to start preaching yet. I'm going to wait a few minutes and let people come on. And several of you are already on this morning. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. You were early. You got to church early this morning. Oh, that's awesome. And so, anyway, God is good. We're going to wait just a couple more minutes and let more people come on. But, wow, it has been so hot. I mean, oh, my goodness. And it's not over yet. But you know what? We can and we will make it through. Praise God for the protection from the heat. But we need to pray for people who, you know, don't have air conditioning in their cars, in their homes, and because it is really, really getting hot. There we go. Looks like just about everybody is coming on and more. So, okay, so welcome. Welcome to Church of His Glory this morning. You know, it's just an honor and a privilege to be able to come together like this in times like this to have this type of avenue to be able to still release the Word of God and speak it and for you to hear it and to be able to pray. And, you know, I just love what God is doing, because if we have the ear to hear what He is saying and what He is speaking to us, then, you know what, we're going to all rise up together. And we're going to rise up together and be stronger. And, you know, we need each other. And so I hope y'all are staying in contact with one another. And we're going to be meeting back in the building soon. I'm just really praying and believing God that it's going to be real soon here. And in the meantime, though, you know, stay in contact. We did corporate prayer. We didn't have a real long time to do it once we kind of figured things out, but that's how it is. You know, it's a new day. We're learning new things, and so this week should be better. So for those of you who tried to get on and weren't able to go on, I know that some others of you are helping those who had some problems. And so contact Gina at 972-974-4193. Contact Gina if you need help. And I think someone showed her how to get on. And so now she knows how to get on, so she can tell you and help you how to get on. But you just download the Zoom app. It's really easy. It's free. It's a free app. It's, I know they have some apps, Zoom apps that you pray for, but they do have the free Zoom app. And so, and what will happen is I will send you an email. You will get an email, and then on the night of, which it'll be on Thursday again, and it's going to be at 6 o'clock, what you'll do is you'll just go into that email and you'll click on to where it tells you to click on to if you want to join in. And then I'll see whenever you come on and then bring you into the room. And so then everybody should get in just fine. And so so praise God that we can have corporate prayer and be able to see each other. Prayer is so important and it's so key right now because of where we're at and what we're going through. And prayer has always been important. It's always been a key in our lives to bring us access and to open us up into the realm of the spirit. And so I just want to encourage you to whatever you do, to every day to pray and lift up our president, lift up everything that's going on in this nation that you're aware of. We've really got to stand strong as the body of Christ. And I'm not going to get into it this morning because there are a lot of political things that we really need to be praying about. But don't miss corporate prayer this Thursday night. And so so if you would like, if you haven't given your email yet and you would like to be a part of the corporate prayer, you weren't able to this past week, you can message me on the number that has been given out, 469-370-1590. And you can message me on that number or message Gina, and she will let me know and give your email address. And then I'll send the email to you so that you can be a part of it. But prayer is so key. It's so important. It always has been. You know, I've always said that prayer is the backbone to our ministry. Prayer is the backbone to our lives. Prayer is the backbone to everything that we do. And I'm so blessed and honored that God is faithful to move on our prayers. And, you know, sometimes we don't see things right away, but you can't give up. Don't ever give up. When you're praying in alignment, someone needs to hear this right now. When you're in alignment with the Word of God, because God honors His Word, but when you are in alignment with the Word of God, the Word of God will come to pass. And so don't give up on prayer. We want things easy. We want to see things manifested quickly. When God answers our prayers, we've got to keep on pressing in, to keep going to higher heights, to keep on going to another realm of faith, another realm of glory, to walk in another realm of authority, to walk in another realm of leadership, another realm of anointing, because God wants you to keep, He wants you to keep on going up higher. And, you know, the Word of God tells us that, you know, we're supposed to be making and building and preparing the highway of holiness for people to get onto it. So the highway to heaven is a upward. It's going upward. It's not a downward incline that's going down. It's going upward. So we want to keep taking people and bringing them onto that highway of holiness according to the Word of God in Isaiah. And so so don't give up. Keep on praying. Stay faithful in the place of prayer. Wow, we need prayer so bad. And you know what? Maybe you can get down on your knees. Maybe you may be difficult for you to get down on your knees. Put a pillow on the floor. And there's something about the posture of being on your knees that really humbles you. And I don't know, I can't, it's one of those things that I can't explain it. I know there's several of you that have gotten on your knees and you know what I'm talking about. But it's a posture, it's a position, it's bowing before the Lord and honoring Him as the King of Glory, honoring Him as our Lord Jesus Christ, and acknowledging that, you know, He is faithful. It's being reverent to Him. So please be a part of the corporate prayer. I'm going to say this last thing about prayer, and then I'm going to move on. But, you know, the corporate prayer, has always been, and this is like all across the board, all across everywhere, prayer has been the least place of participation by people in a congregation, in an organization, in a ministry. It's been the least place that has been that people have been a part of. That people have been a part of, because somewhere along the line, we deemed it that prayer was not necessary. Listen, every single week almost, Jesus said, "My house is a house of prayer." Now, he did say, "My house shall be a house of prayer" in Matthew, but then he went on down, and, you know, a little bit of time went by, and he said, "My house is a house of prayer." So you may not feel like you have eloquent words to pray and like your prayers are not effective. Listen, God just wants what is effectual and fervent from your heart in praying. And what we have to realize is that, you know, the anointing comes and settles on you and rests on you as you step out to be a house of prayer, as you make yourself available. And so, you know, prayer, again, it is key, it is vital, it is important. And we've heard for many years, you know, the five or six women that came together and prayed in their living room, and out of that the Brownsville revival was birthed. Well, you know what? We've had just a few people at Church of His Glory for many, many years, just a handful of women that have prayed, and we have been seeing revival all these years. I know there hasn't been a multitude of people that have come and stayed, but there's been a multitude of people that have come into that place and has been touched by the Lord, delivered, healed, prophesied over, prophecies come to pass. They've had breakthrough in different areas, and then they go on and they move on. And so I'm grateful for that. We've been in a place of revival. So many times we think that revival is a meeting like the Brownsville revival that goes on for so many months. Every person, if you're a born-again believer, you have been revived by the Spirit of God. And so if when you live a life of repentance and you walk in the revival of the Lord, the abundant life that's been imparted to you, revival can break out wherever you go. It's just if you're willing to be that vessel that releases the revival in you. And so out of this time, and I'm just going to move right on in here, you know, out of this time that we're in, again, I want to encourage you today. I want to share some keys with you today, and I want to help you to not give up during this time, to not withdraw from this time, but to step out and to move out of your comfort zone, because God is moving. He really is moving. And you know what? There's been so much negativity that has been said. There's been so much that the media has said. And I'm just going to say it now. I said I'm not going to get into the politics today, but there has been a lot of negative things that have said, things that have not been true, obviously, and it's all been a tactic of the enemy to bring fear upon this nation, to bring fear upon you and I as believers, as the body of Christ. And God, He will not. Well, let me just say it like this. His word says that He has no pleasure. He takes no pleasure in those who shrink back. We cannot shrink back from the truth that we know, the truth that we have been living, the truth that we have been walking in this hour. We have to keep on moving forward. We have to keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Jesus is the author and finisher of your faith. That's what the Word of God says. So we've got to keep on fighting the good fight of faith, and stay follows the faith that we walk in. And so, you know, there's still so many questions. People are saying, well, is this going to happen? Well, am I going to have to get a chip in my hand? Am I going to have to get the vaccine? Am I going to have to be quarantined in my home? Are we never going to get to do this? Is this it? There's so many questions and focus on what we've been told, what we've read, what we've seen video clips of, and maybe, and you know, what's been on the news, and especially Facebook. Oh, my goodness. You have to be so careful what you watch and what you listen to. And, you know, I just, I've said this a few weeks ago, I've gotten hundreds of video clips from people, you know, and people wanting to know, what do I think is a prophet of God? What do I think? And then people just, you know, sending stuff, please watch this and send it out before they take it down. And it's just all of this, like, fear and this, it's like a harassing spirit that is coming against the body of Christ to keep us all wrapped up in all of this stuff that's being said. That is why we've got to seek the Lord, as the Word of God says, while he may be found. Stay in the Word of God. And we've got to get into that place of where we're seeking him, going into the secret place, hearing from the Lord, because guess what? He is still speaking. And he is speaking so clearly. And the one thing, listen to this, get this. I know you've heard this, what I'm fixing to say. You've heard this and you know it. But the question is, are you living it? Because this is the thing. This is the word that keeps on going forth, that keeps on being spoken over and over and over in this time, in what we're going through. And that is in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14. My people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He said, if you and I will humble ourselves, if we'll humble ourselves, when we're born again, we give up our rights to gain access through the blood of Jesus to the rights that God gives us through the Word of God. But we've got to humble ourselves. And when we humble ourselves, what that means is we don't allow pride to stand in the way, but we humble ourselves. We let go of that pride because God hates pride in our lives anyway. But when you humble yourself, it's like you become more aware of your shortcomings. And you surrender those to the Lord. You humble yourself. You lay down and you let go of what you think. It's a mindset that you have and how you approach things in life. And so he says to humble yourself. And he says, surrender to me. He said, and pray. Now, we know this scripture. We've quoted this scripture for so many years, decades, so many of us. But are we truly doing this? Are we living a life of humility, living a life of prayer, and seeking his face and turning from our wicked ways? Now, a lot of people, when they see that word wicked, they're thinking, oh, my gosh, wicked, the wicked witch of the West, and, you know, from the East, and the Wizard of Oz, and all of that stuff, and, you know, that's wicked. In the Bible, when you see that word wicked, it's talking about doubt and unbelief. We do things a lot of times because we doubt the Word of God, and we don't want to admit that or say that. But, you know, we're trying to figure out how to do things, and we're trying to figure out how we should approach this. And because we're doubting the ways of the Lord. It seems like the ways of the Lord is either too complicated or it's too simple. And I even posted something this past week. when we're wondering if God can do something, we are indeed doubting. And he doesn't take, he calls that a wicked heart. I don't want to be doubting him. I don't want to have unbelief. You know, there's so much unbelief right now because our world has been turned upside down. Our sphere, this, you know, the United States of America and other nations, it's, I mean, literally our world has been turned upside down. And we've got to press in and dig in and get into that place of seeking him and hearing what is God saying? What is God saying? And not necessarily through prophets. I mean, you've got prophets that are rising up everywhere right now, especially, and they're speaking this. And then you've got a lot of people that are rising up and saying, I'm not a prophet, but I had a dream. I had three consecutive dreams. I had four dreams and, you know, and so forth. And got a lot of people saying a lot of things. But the Bible says in Hebrews that it's the word of God. It's the word of God that is quicker than any two-edged sword. It's the word of God that pierces and divides asunder the soul and the spirit, the bone marrow and the joints, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of a man's heart. Now, in case you didn't know this, I just quoted Hebrews 4:12. That's what the word of God says in Hebrews 4:12. And so it's the word of God that divides. So when you hear something and when you see something, sometimes your spirit doesn't bear witness with it, and it can indeed be a word from the Lord. And so remember the importance of reading the word of God. And some people are like, well, I don't know what to read. You know, I don't know what to start off reading. Well, start off reading the book of Proverbs and the book of Psalms, and then read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John, and then go into the book of Acts. And then if you're a brand new believer, read the book of Romans. But read, you know, a chapter, get in the word, because the word is our very life and spirit. And the word of God is going to help you to enable and enable you to be able to rightly divide the truth. Because again, if you're on social media, which most people are, you're going to hear so many things. And again, I mean, just beaucoups of people every single day. I don't even like to get on Facebook. I get on there and quote or put whatever the Lord wants me to put, and then I get off. And to get on Messenger, it's ridiculous because so many people are sending so many things. And listen, when you start listening to everything, when you start watching everything, you just start getting all kinds of different mixed emotions. And next thing you know, fear tries to set in. Unbelief tries to set in. But again, what is God saying? He said, if my people who are called by my name, you are called by his name, I am called by his name, and he is waiting, he is moving on our behalf. The scripture around this particular scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that's the place that we know. Well, in verse 12 it says, the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive them their sin and will hear their land. And listen, he says, and my eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. What an awesome promise of God. that he has given to us, that if we do what he said in his word, he's not only going to heal our land, forgive our sins, and heal our land, but his eyes are going to be open and his ears are going to be attentive to the prayer that you and I make. That prayer that we make when we are at home by ourselves and with the Lord or with our family, and then when we come together corporately, and he says, because I have chosen and sanctified this house, you are a house of prayer. You need to tell yourself that every morning and thank God. God, thank you that I am a house of prayer. Because prayer is what changes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so we want to be that house of prayer. We want to see the change. So turn with me real quick and let's go into the book of 1 Samuel. And hopefully I'll be able to share most of this, but I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 9. And so, again, hopefully I'll be able to share all of this. This is a prophetic word that the Lord has given me, and it's a word that go out and needs to go out, and it's a powerful word. I'm grateful to the Lord for his word. And so, let's see. Let's go to chapter 9. And I'm going to kind of just go over a couple of scriptures until I get to where I am going to in sharing with you. Okay, so everybody there, 1 Samuel chapter 9. Excuse me, let me take a drink of water. Praise God. Okay. So look at verse 6. And so it says to him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he is an honorable man. All that he says comes surely to pass. Now let us go, and peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. So there was an acknowledgement of a prophet. There was an acknowledgement of a man of God who was honored in the city. What he spoke, it came to pass. You may not be a prophet, and most people aren't in the body of Christ. Were many prophets, and everybody was a prophet, then we would need the office, the gift of a prophet. But you're prophetic by your divine nature. Your DNA, the DNA of God that you have, makes you a prophetic person. Okay? And so we should all be able to, as a prophetic company of people with the DNA of Christ, we should be able to pray and hear from the Lord and know the way that we should walk. And so, I'm going to leave that. And so then he said to Saul, to his servant, he says, behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there's not a present to bring to the man of God what we have. And the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver that I will give to the man of God to tell us our way. So they honored this man of God. It says, before time in Israel, in verse 9, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. And so right now today, you probably have seen on Facebook, they're there are prophets that teach, you know, we're seers. And so that would be correct. It's not anything that is funky or, you know, not of the Lord. A prophet is a seer. It says, and then said Saul unto his servant, and he said, come, let us go. So they went into the city where the man of God was. And it says, and they went up the hill to the city, and they found the young maidens going out to draw water, and said unto them, is the seer here? And then look what the response was. It says, and they answered them, and they said, he is. Behold, he is before you. Make haste now, for he came today to the city. And I want you to really pay close attention to this part of the scripture. For there is a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. So if you're not afraid to underline in your Bible, underline that high place. Because that's a key word that I want you aware of. And I want you to see what surrounds that verbiage, the high place. So it says there's a sacrifice of the people today in the high place. And then it says, as soon as you come into the city, you shall straightway find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. For the people will not eat until he comes, because he does bless the sacrifice, and afterwards they eat that be bidden. Now therefore, get you up, for about this time you shall find him. So, in verse 13, we just read that he said, as soon as you come to the city, you'll find him before he goes up to the high place to eat. So we see that word again, high place. So underline that again, or acknowledge it, or write it down in your notes, and look at that. And then in verse 14, it says, and they went up into the city, and when they were come into the city, behold, Samuel came out against them for to go up to the high place. There it is again. We see that word, high place. So now we've seen it three times. And then he says, now the Lord has told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came. Now notice, God has a plan here, Samuel. The Lord wants to speak to you because you're his daughter, you're his son. He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak into your ear. And so it says that he spoke to Samuel a day before Saul came. And he said, tomorrow, the Lord's telling him, tomorrow, about this time, I will send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come unto me. Well, scripture right here. And what the Lord is saying to Samuel about Saul, who God has already appointed. Now he said, tomorrow this time I'll send thee a man out of the land of Benjamin. Now, the land of Benjamin, you know, he was a Benjamite. Saul was a Benjamite. Benjamin was a part of the land and a part of the people that was part of the 12 tribes. And it was the smallest tribe that there was in and what was looked upon as being the most insignificant tribe because it was so small. In fact, a couple of times they were almost wiped out totally before they were, but you get my point. This man that Saul that is being sent is coming out of this tribe. You would have thought that he would have been coming, the man that God had was telling Samuel that was going to be captain over Israel, over his people Israel, that he can save his people out of the hand of Philistines. You would have thought that it would have been a man that's coming out of one of the other tribes, like Judah, one of the the bigger tribes that were acknowledged and known for their strength and for having many, you know, many people, many, I don't want to say warriors, but, well, we'll just leave it. I don't need to focus on that. But you get my point. Someone that is coming out of the least tribe that would be expected. And so I could go into this about Trump, but I'm not going to do that today because it's really so significant. But look what he says, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come unto me. So we've got to get into the prayer closet. We've got to pray. The cry was in the land, and there was it was acknowledged by the Lord. And so the Lord now was going to send someone to their aid that would save the people. God has chosen President Trump to be president again. Okay, I'm going to leave that right there. And then verse 15 says, and when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, behold the man. So Samuel was in the right place at the right time to know who the right man was that God had chosen. Because when Samuel saw Saul, God said, that's him. That's the man that I spoke to you about. Ooh, I love that. Because that is totally of the Spirit and by the Spirit. The same, this same shall reign over my people. And so when I think about that, that made me think about that scripture right there, made me think about different trips, and even like this year, trips that I've gone on, ministry trips, and the people that are picking me up at the airport, that they will say, you know, we'll be waiting down in the baggage area for you. And I remember distinctly in January my trip to St. Louis, and when I was coming down the elevator, I looked, and it's like I knew that the two women that were standing there, I knew that that's who they were, even though I didn't know that's who they were in the natural, because I hadn't seen a picture of them. I didn't know. And there were several people standing down at the end of the elevator waiting for people to come down. But I knew, and I thought, you know, this is kind of the same thing. Samuel saw Saul, and the Lord's like, that's him. It's like when I saw them, I heard in my spirit, that's them. That's who they are. And so there's something about the power of the Spirit of God that is in us that connects us and brings us together as one. And then he says, and then Samuel drew near, verse 18, to Samuel in the gate and said, tell me, I pray thee, where the seer's house is. And Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. So Samuel knew who Saul was, but Saul didn't know who Samuel was. Woo-wee. Okay, I could preach on that. But I want to keep moving on because I want to try to finish this. And it says, and Samuel answered Saul, okay, and he said, I am the seer. Go up before me. There it is again. That's the fourth time. So underline that. To the high place, he said, go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go and will tell thee all that is in thine heart. So Samuel obviously had been praying. You know, the Lord will show me what is in people's hearts. He will do that. He will show me what is in people's hearts and to, you know, to be able to speak that to people. And it says, and for thine asses that were lost 3 days ago, he said, set not thy mind on them, for they are found. And the Lord began to quicken me about this scripture right here, about things that have been lost. And what I hear the Lord saying is, don't set your mind on the things that have been lost, because they are found. There's things that it seems like in the last decade, many things that you thought were lost, and you've focused on some of those things. The Lord's saying, don't focus on those things, because they are found. Somebody ought to be rejoicing right now. Somebody ought to be thanking the Lord right now. Found. They are found. Woo-wee. Somebody just needs to thank the Lord right now. And then he says, and on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on thee and on all thy father's house? And then Saul answered him and said, am not I a Benjamite of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherein then speakest thou so to me? And so, Saul was acknowledging being a part of the smallest tribe, his family being the least of all families, and he's wondering and he's questioning, why are you talking to me? Why would you even talk to me and speak to me and tell me this? And that's how some of us feel sometimes. That's how some of you are going to feel. Because you know what? God's choosing people in this hour that people would never choose. But when God ordains something and when he chooses something, he's already equipped you. And it doesn't matter what people say and what people think. Because if he's chosen you, it doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter if you live in the smallest house. It doesn't matter if you live in an apartment. It doesn't matter if you live in a bungalow or if you live in the middle of a village in a foreign country. It doesn't matter where you live. If God's called you, he's called you. If he's chosen you and you're chosen, you will fulfill, as you heed to the word of God, you will fulfill the word of the Lord, regardless of what people think. He says, and Samuel took Saul and his servant, and he brought them into the parlor, and he made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. So Samuel took Saul and took Saul's servant, and he set them, he says, in the chiefest place. Now, you can imagine what some people probably thought. But again, Samuel didn't care. Because he had already gotten the word from the Lord. The Lord had already told him. The word had already come to Samuel of what he needed in anointing Saul to be captain over Israel. And it says that Samuel, in verse 23, that Samuel said unto the cook, bring the portion which I give thee, of which I said unto thee, set it by thee. And the cook took up the shoulder and that which was upon it, and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, behold, that which is left, set it before thee and eat. For unto this time hath it been kept for thee, since I said, I have invited the people. So Saul did eat with Samuel that day. And then look at verse 25. Here we go again. And when they were come down from the high place, there it is again. So underline it again. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This is the fifth word, high place. It says in 2, he says, and when they were come down from the high place into the city, Samuel communed with Saul upon the top of the house. So there they communed. They had been in the high place, and then they communed. But now look at verse 26, and it says, and they arose early, and it came to pass about the spring of the day that Samuel called Saul to the top of the house, saying, up, that I may send thee away. And Saul arose and went out both with them, he Gideon Samuel abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass before thee." And he passed by. "But stand thou still while that I may show thee the word of God." And so I want you to see that again, that they went up again to the top of the house and they communed. So in each one of these places, I'm going to share this and then I'm going to finish up here. I'm going to get to finish. Praise God. So in this place, all through this chapter in chapter 9, we keep reading about the high place. Okay, biblically, the high place is the place of worship. Hallelujah. That's what the high place is. It's the place of worship. And the Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that is so key, that is so important, that we keep staying and living in the truth, in the Word of God. He's seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And in that place of worship, just like we read in verse 12, there's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice to worship the Lord. And especially today, with everything that's going on right now, that tends to be probably one of the last things. Seems like some people are doing more research on who said what and can this be true and does this align up with who has said this, and it's just a distraction that the enemy is using to keep us from staying focused and worshiping and seeking the Lord, worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. We're too compelled to draw close to the Lord, to stay in the Word, stay in the secret place, and worship Him and commune with Him. You know, the Lord's been preparing you and myself and the body of Christ for a long time. He's been preparing us to spend time in the secret place. That has been a message that I have been teaching and preaching for 30 years. And now, today, more than ever, we need to be in that place, in the secret place. We need to be in that high place. There's so many things that happened after being in that place of worship. There's so many things that will manifest and come out of those times of worship, of being focused on Him. And so it's very key. This is a very prophetic word today. I'm trembling right now because it's so important. It's, you know, sometimes when you've been privileged to hear something for so long and it's not been taught in other places or it's not been said, and then finally it starts coming out, then you realize, you know, that is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. This is, you know, we've got to stay in that place. We've got to keep going to the high place. We've got to keep worshiping Him. And then look what Samuel, he told Saul. He said, "But stand thou still for a while that I may show thee the word of God." It's time for you and I, as the body of Christ, to demonstrate the Word of God, to show people the Word of God. We've got to do that. And as we pray the Word of God and we see the Word of God manifested, there's a demonstration that people are going to see. They're not just going to hear. We're going to see the results of that, of worshiping him in spirit and in truth. But we cannot get sidetracked by all of the stuff that we hear that is going on. Now look at chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "And then Samuel took a vial of oil, and he poured it upon his head, and he kissed him, and he said, 'Is it not because the Lord has anointed thee to be captain over his inheritance?'" And so Samuel anointed Saul and poured the oil on his head. Some of you are about to receive an anointing that you've not ever known or seen in your life, in your ministry, in your family before. And there's going to be a recognition of the oil that is going to come upon you. And you're going to know that you know that God has anointed you. You're going to see things. You're going to find out things and learn of things about the Lord and what he is doing, what he's actually speaking, what he's actually doing in your family that you have not known. You're going to become so aware of it because it is time. I've shared this with many of you. In most families, there's a catalyst. There's someone in a family that is like a forerunner, someone that is bold, that steps out and does what the Lord calls them to do. And your family is blessed because of your obedience. But then because of your obedience and the faith that you're walking in, it encourages those in your family to be obedient to the Lord and to walk in the purpose and the plan of God for your family that ultimately is not just for you, but it's for all those who God has put in your sphere of influence that encourages them to do and to be what God has called them to be so they can do what they've been called to do. Now look real quick at verse 2. It says, "And when thou art departed from me today, when thou shalt find two men at Rachel's sepulchre in the border of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say unto thee, 'The asses which thou went to seek are found, and lo, the father has left the care of the asses and sorrows for you,' saying, 'What shall I do for you, my son?' Then shall you go on forward from thence, and thou shalt come to the plain of Tabor, and shall meet three men going up to God to Bethel, one carrying three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a bottle of wine. And they shall salute thee and give thee two loaves of bread, and thou shalt receive of their hands." So Samuel is speaking to Saul. He's given them the plan of the Lord. He's telling them, this is what's going to happen. And it says, "And after that," now pay attention to this scripture. He says, and after that, thou shalt come to the hill of God, where is the garrison of the Philistines. When thou art come thither to the city, that thou shalt meet a company of prophets coming down from where? The high place, with a psaltery, a tabret, and a pipe, and a harp before them, and they shall prophesy." And so that's very key. That's very important. But let's look at what it says. "Thou shalt come to the hill of God." In Psalms chapter 24, in verses 3 and 4, it says, "Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." Coming up, he says, you're going to come up to the hill of God. And he says, where the garrison of the Lord is. Now, a garrison, it refers to a military outpost where troops, where they're stationed to provide protection to an area. A garrison means to defend, to protect. It's a stronghold. of defense. So he said, you're going to come to the hill of God. You're going to come of the Philistines are. So it's a place where you're going to be protected. It's a place where you're going to be defended. And that's very key to know in this time that we're in, because of the attack that is coming on the church. You may not be aware of this or even realize it, but there is an attack on the church right now. And so anyway, okay, oh goodness, we're getting really close to the end. And so of the hour, not the end of time, to the end of our time today. But so I want you to be encouraged that as you obey the word of the Lord, to be afraid of everything that is going on. And so then he says, you're going to come to a company of prophets and they're going to prophesy. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you shall prophesy with them and you shall be turned into another man. So I prophesy to you today that the Spirit of the Lord is coming upon you and that you are going to turn into another man, into another woman, because the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord is coming up on you. The Spirit of God is coming up on you. So just go ahead and lift your hands up to the Lord right now. And I'm going to pray for you. Hallelujah. Father, thank you today. You for your word today. Father, thank you that your words are life and spirit. Father, thank you that you have a plan. Father, thank you that we're going to keep going to the high place. We're going to keep going into that place of worshiping you, being worshipers, being worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And Father, I pray that those today, that they will seek you and they will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, but that they'll be obedient to this word, Father, that they'll receive from you, that they'll continue to sacrifice. They'll be that living sacrifice, as your word says, and they'll go up into that place of worship, and they'll keep on worshiping you regardless. Father, I thank you that today that you are anointing those, hallelujah, you are anointing those for your divine purpose. Father, thank you for this prophetic word today. Father, thank you that you are raising up entrepreneurs. You are raising up teachers and preachers and prophets. Father, you're raising up apostles. Father, thank you that you're anointing these in this place today. Father, thank you that their cries come up to you. And Father, thank you that you are making a way where there has been no way. Father, thank you, Lord God, for the anointing of God that destroys every yoke of bondage. But Father, thank you for your Spirit right now being released, coming upon each of these who are saying, yes, Lord, I receive from you. Father, thank you that just as is spoken in your word, that they shall be turned into another man, they shall be turned into another woman. And Father, thank you that signs and wonders will follow them in this hour. Father, thank you that you're giving them a new heart today, that you're enlarging their hearts for what you've called them to do in this hour, in this moment. Father God, thank you that they are seeking you because you've been seeking those who will worship you in spirit and truth. And Father, they're seeking you in the secret place. They're worshiping you. They're separating themselves. They're communing with you. Just like Saul and Samuel, they commune with each other. And Father, thank you that as they stand still and as they are still for a while, Father, thank you that you will show them the way, that you will show them. They will see the word. They will know the way. Father, they will understand that you have called them, that you have ordained them. Father, that you are making the way. Father, I thank you that they'll begin to prophesy, that they'll prophesy to their family. They'll prophesy, oh, family. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you will show them the way during this time. Father, I thank you for creativity. Father, I thank you for strategies that will help them in their workplace and even in their homes, Father, to be everything that you've called them to be so they can keep doing what you've called them to do. Because, Father, you said that as they receive this, Father, as they keep coming before you as a living sacrifice that's being made holy and acceptable unto you for your reasonable services, as they tarry, as they wait for a while, as they're seeking you, Father, that you will show them what they are to do. Father, I pray that everyone would receive this, that they would not get in a tizzy and be freaking out wondering what to do. But Father, they'll do as you've said in your word in 1 Samuel today 9 and 10. Father, they'll do what you've said, and they'll know that they know that they know that you are saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Do not look to the right or left, but look unto me, the author and finisher of your faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Father, I pray right now, and I agree with your word. I come into agreement with your word. And, Father, I thank you that those who have an ear to hear, that they've heard what the Spirit of the Lord has said today. And, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that you've made the way for them, and that as they look to you and as they receive from you, Father, I thank you that they will receive just as you have spoken. Thank you for your anointing that destroys every yoke of bondage. But Father, thank you for your glory that's present. Father, thank you, Lord God, for miracles in families this week. Father, I thank you for healing bodies right now, for touching bodies right now. I thank you for your healing virtue that is flowing into bodies right now. Hallelujah. Father, you're so awesome. You're so amazing. And Father, we just thank you. We thank you, Father, that this is our greatest hour. This is our finest moment in the history of the church from you. And that is that we win because we've already won. Hallelujah. Now, Father, be glorified in each of these in their lives. Receive all the glory and honor in Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. God is good. He is awesome. I feel the peace of the Lord. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. And wow. God is so good. Go back over, read these scriptures, listen to the podcast again, and just know that we win. We win. And so, you know, God has already sent his son. Jesus paid the price that none of us will ever have to pay. And he made the way so that you and I can walk through on that pathway that has been made for this moment that we're in. It's not getting worse. It's getting darker, just as prophecy is being fulfilled. Yes, it is darker in the world. Gross darkness is covering the earth and the peoples. But the glory of God in our lives is becoming greater and stronger. And remember, men and women, children, are going to come to the rising of God's glory in your life. So praise the Lord. Praise God. Go back and listen to this. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you and listen to, you know, what the Lord's saying, and I know that he'll speak to you even more, and you'll receive more, and just know that we're making history right now on the sidelines because we're sitting on the couch watching TV and just, you know, taking it easy, just say rah, and going through each day. No, God's got a plan, and he's got a purpose. And so seek him, obey the word, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. Well, Pastor Kenneth and I love you. Please keep giving, and thank you for all of those who are giving right now. You know, that really nothing changes. And even some of you who are listening today who you don't even come to Church of His Glory and you're giving your tithes and you're sowing offerings, Pastor Kenneth and I are so humbled by that. It's very humbling, especially right now during this time. And, you know, God has a plan. And so when you bring your tithes, you know, your tithe is still. God said, I'll rebuke the devourer of Satan. So the devourer of Satan is still being rebuked off of your lives. The windows of heaven are opening up and blessings are being poured out. Thank you for your faithfulness and your offerings and just, again, your continual support of the kingdom of God. It's not for Pastor Kenneth and I. It's for you and for your family that you obey him in your giving. And so I apologize that PayPal is the only way right now. I just opened up an Apple Cash deal, but I've got to get more information on it before I can tell you. But hopefully we're not going to be having our services like this much longer at all. We're going to be back in the building full time, all the time, MINRC@AOL.com. And you just do it to a friend. It'll be friend, family, friend or family or business. And we're a nonprofit organization, but we are not giving you anything in exchange. So don't do the business. When you do the business, it deducts money off of what you give. And so just do it as a friend or family. And then you can mail it the good old-fashioned way. Put a stamp on it. Everybody's like, he does that anymore. He mails stuff. I do. And so P.O. Box 2216, Rockwall, Texas 75087. Or there's the slot in the door. You can put your tithes and offerings in an envelope and write on the envelope or on your check, if you're given a check, in the memo, you can write what is tithe, what is offering, what is children's, missions, apostles or pastors or whatever, however you're giving, whatever you're giving to, you can write it out on the envelope. And so, again, Pastor Kenneth and I, we speak blessings over you. We pray over your giving, and we know that God is multiplying seed because you are sowing. And he's bread for your own food, and he's increasing the fruits of your righteousness. And so just keep on praying, and we want to lift up. Let's just pray right quick. I know that the program's over, but it is over, but service is still going. So don't hang up because you won't be able to call back in. But let's go ahead, and I just want to lift up the Rutledges, Linda's son's father-in-law passed away the other day. So let's just pray for them. Father, we lift up Tiffany's family right now, Chris's wife. Father, we just pray for the whole family that you would comfort them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, let the peace of God surround them like the mountains surround Jerusalem. Father, let them know your peace during this time and just comfort them. He was a very young man, and Father, it's hard to understand death. It's just difficult, hard to understand, but Father, you can get that peace that passes all understanding. So let the peace of God that passes all understanding consume the hearts of the family. And also, Father, just touch Chris's family as well, as they were all family. And so, Father, just give them that moment of when they might could possibly even share something that would be encouraging to the Clem family, and something that would help them to make it through this time, and And Father, thank you that you're working thing out for them. And Father, we just send our love. Father, thank you that there's no distance in the spirit. So we just stretch our hands forth and we send the anointing. We send your love to them right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, for embracing them as a father embraces their child, because that's what you do. Father, that you embrace them during this time. And Father, all the families that have suffered through the COVID, the ones who have had family members that have passed away, Father, thank you for being with them, for giving them peace and helping them during this difficult time. And Father, we just pray a hedge of protection around each and every person. And Father, thank you that no weapon formed against any person when it comes to sickness and disease or whatever else will it prosper in their bodies in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give you the glory and honor for that. Father, thank you for this hour that we're living in. Father, we want to be everything that you've called us to be so we can keep doing our sins. And have mercy on us and wash us in the blood of the Lamb of Jesus. And Father, thank you for your promises that are yes and amen. And Father, we do rejoice in today because this is the day that you have made. Father, thank you for good reports this week. Father, I thank you for the reports that I've heard that may not be public yet, but will be public in the next week or so. Father, thank you for just thank you for the reports that are going to be released and announced and made concerning different families. Father, we just give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. He is good all the time. Give each other a hug. Give virtual hugs to each other. Y'all reach out to each other. Seriously, reach out to each other. Keep me in your prayers. I'll be ministering in Hillsboro, Texas tomorrow evening. And I'm excited about that, what God's going to do. And then in four more weeks, I'll be ministering in St. Cloud, Minneapolis. And so I'm looking forward to what God's going to do there. And the clouds that have been there have been one type of cloud, but there's another cloud that's going to move into that area. And I know that God's going to move so powerfully. And so I'm sorry if it could be Missouri. Anyway, it's up there somewhere. So if you're on Facebook, you can go to my wall and you can see it where it is exactly. But just keep me in your prayers and praise God once again for what he's doing. And I love you. Pastor Kenneth loves you. We speak the blessings of God over you. Reach out to each other. Don't forget, let me know. You can call or text on 469-370-1590. You can text and send your email if you want to be a part of the corporate prayer on Thursday night, and you will get an email. Then go to your email and pull up the email, and then it'll tell you where to click. So you can do it on your phone or on a laptop or a computer. You can do it either way. iPad, I think you can pull it up just about any way. So, okay. Well, you are blessed. Have a blessed, blessed Sunday. And stay cool and be cool for Jesus. Okay. Okay. I love y'all. Pastor Kenneth loves you. Bye.